But if not, you're still moving. You're still operating. What's moving you? What's moving you? Your blood? No. There's spirit. It's life, spirit. And, you know, we're mixed with spirits. You know, I like this book right here. It's called The Bible. Those that are listening around the world, half of them don't even know what this is. I like this book. It's called The Bible. It's probably one of the only books that I know that is close to what I know. And this book here speaks about how the wheat and the tares grow together. The spirits of good and the bad spirits, they grow together. You know, I'm going to share a verse here, and some of us might have heard this a long time ago. It's John 3:16. It's one of the most obvious scriptures out there in the secular world as far as Christianity goes, about how God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten Son, that who should ever believe in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. I'm going to clear this all up, because everybody might think all of a sudden his son was Jesus. It wasn't Jesus. His son is the divine nature that's living inside of you. The good nature. See, nobody means to do bad. You didn't grow out of your mom's womb and pop out and say, I'm a bad dude. You know, you became bad if you feel bad because of life and the way life. Listen, if you were like me, we were brought up in an area where you had to fight. Kurt knows. Kurt grew up in the same area I was, and I like this man because he's a witness of what I have to say, because some people have a hard time believing that. But you'd be sitting there minding your own business, having a good time with your buds, drinking a beer, doing whatever, and next minute, you know, you got cracked right across the head. Bam! Whoa! What's that? Next minute, you know, you're fighting. Every day we fought. And if you didn't fight, you're done. You better might as well just not come out and play for the day. Yeah, and that's how it was. I didn't mean to grow up like that. I didn't mean it. And I thank God I'm free from that. I don't have any guilt. I don't have any shame. Matter of fact, I was in BJ's the other day. It's one of these big department stores we have around here in the U.S., and I was buying tires for our car. And this guy comes up to me and says, I know who you are. I'm like, okay, I remember you. You beat me up, me and my friend. And I said to him, you know what? I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm really sorry that I did that. You know, are you okay? You know? And I felt really bad. And he felt really bad. And I'm just grateful that I was able to say I'm sorry for that time. And I'm saying this because every one of us has guilt. Every one of us has a shame. Every one of us has done something in our past that we're not really happy with. At the same time, people put guilt on us. And people put shame on us. And I share this with others because those that are as close to us, like your mom, your dad, your guardians, your loved ones, your husband, your wives, even your children, they say things to you like, you should have. Why did you? You know, you better. And these kind of things. And, you know, it makes an impact into your heart. And you're saying, geez, man, I just want to, like, live. This is my life. I just want to be left alone. And they mean well. I mean, think about it. How many of us got a little harassed growing up or whatever, or even now, you know what I'm saying? And we're trying to just get by. It's like, listen, I remember I had to go take care of some business. I never really got along with my parents, and I'm at an age now where I got to start getting my act together, and I'm moving forward. I made a commitment to go full time. And I said to myself, you know what, I got to get my spirit ready for this next move. I can't have any of this condemnation or guilt on me. So I went ahead and, you know, first thing out of their mouths was, How come you never call? Where were you been? It's like, let's go. Here we go. Beat them down. Beat them down. Beat them down. I have a life. How many people have a life? How many people are really busy and you just can't get that Christmas card out, you know, or that birthday card? How many people have gotten harassed by the cards? Yeah, man, all the time. I'm not a card guy, you know, and they like cards and I'm not a card guy and you're the bad guy because you don't like cards. But, you know, they have to just understand. I think all of us have to understand, for one, this is who we are. I realize that God made us just exactly who we are, and we need to live that life. We need to find that life. And if we find that life, we have an everlasting life. We have a fulfilled life. We are in so much bondage because we're so concerned about what other people might think or say. We got to really not be so concerned about what other people think or say. We have to be concerned about what we think and what we want to say. You know, how many people you know don't speak? They keep everything in. They get all bottled up. Well, that's not healthy. So if you got to start opening up and, you know, speaking what's on your heart. Because if you don't start, whether they want to hear it or not, it don't matter. Just start getting it out. Share. Share what's on your heart. Because if not, this is what happens. Your heart condemns yourself. It starts to contemn. It starts to put lies in your head. And one of the most greatest warfare, and we are in war. Does everyone know that? We're in war. We are literally in war. There's spirits that want to come into our head. And they start saying stuff. Oh, it'll never work. Oh, look at you. You can't even talk right. That was one of the things that I battled. I didn't have a good, proper language. You know, I speak okay, but it's called grammar. My grammar's off a little bit, but I'll be okay. You know, I'm getting my points across. I had this one guy say, Jim, you better take some grammar courses. You know, I'm like, I was ready to do it, wasn't I? I brought every book on the shelf and thinking I'm going to self-teach myself grammar, and I'm reading these, but I just gave up. I said, you know what, I got to accept the way I am, and if they just don't like the way I talk, you know, what can I say? You know, they say, well, if you go into sales, or if you do sales, if you do that, you got to learn how to talk. But, you know, I think differently now. I think, you know, God is a power, and I call it God because that's really the only thing I know of. That's the only name I can put on it. It's a higher power that is above. I say that this, and I share with many that are listening, God doesn't exist. And he doesn't, but he does. He exists until you create him, until you allow him to come into your life, until you allow him to be something. And then if you allow him to come into your life and allow him to be something, then God actually appears. But if you don't create God, he's not going to come into your life. He's not going to be there. And so I share that God is a high power, a supreme being, a being that is beyond comprehension. Our minds aren't big enough to comprehend who God is. And he's nothing more than faith. You got to believe. And I'm talking about a series right now about how God wants to come into our lives. He wants to change you. He wants you to have peace and joy. But we have to start somewhere. We have to create him. We have to come into his life by believing, by trusting. For one, you got to trust. You got to say, hey, listen, I don't know where I'm going. And if anybody knows where they're going, I'm going to call them a liar. If anybody knows what's happening tomorrow, I'm going to say right to their face, you're a liar, because you know what? Nobody knows about tomorrow. You know, nobody. Who knows about tomorrow? You could be financially okay. You could have some money in the bank, a little cushion and all that. But what about all of a sudden the banks decide to close down? You going to worry? Huh? Think about it. All of our comfort is in provisions and stuff. You take those provisions away, I bet you're going to start freaking out. Well, God takes all that emotion out of you. It takes all that freak out of you. It gives you peace. It gives you joy. It gives you righteousness. I'm going to share something here. I got a verse because I feel that we're all condemned. We're all condemned already because we don't believe. And I've been speaking a series now about trust and about believing. And when you get to this point, you reach a level of faith, and then God begins to really manifest and gives you the desires of your heart. If you know your makeup, and this is what's really cool, if you can come to a place of knowing who you are, and then you can rest in that, your life is already completed. Every desire that is inside of you is already completed. The only reason why we're not getting it or we're hitting walls is because we're panicking. We have fear. And fear is the biggest robber from you. Fear, believe it or not, robs you from your destiny. Yep. People might say, well, I don't have any fear. You got fear. You got a lot of fear. I can see fear. And when you have fear, it's robbing you from every desire that you have. Here's a perfect example. Let's say I'm looking for a wife, but I got fear in me about this. I don't know if I'm going to be a good husband. I don't know if I'm going to be a good father. I don't know if she's even going to find me attractive. You know, I look in the mirror and I see something and, you know, it ain't nice. It don't look great. Yeah. Do you know our minds play tricks on us? Think about it. Now, I got my wife right here. She looks at me. She looks at me and she says, man, you're the beautifulest looking dude I ever saw. And I'm like, what? What about this guy? This guy's really good looking. Oh, no. You light my world up. Am I exaggerating a little bit? But no, not at all. Okay, well, that's good. So, you see what I mean about how lies work on us? We see ourselves one way. Others see us another way. Well, through the lies, through these warfare battles that come through, I look in the mirror and I see this. Ah! But that's not what she sees. So what automatically is in my heart? Fear. I'm afraid. I'm afraid to go talk to a pretty girl. I'm afraid to walk up to her. Aren't I afraid to walk up to a pretty girl? She's because she knows I'm free now. I can walk up to some women now. But before I was, you know, couldn't talk to a pretty girl. How could I talk to a pretty girl? She probably would think I was a weirdo. I was at Home Depot today. Ken was there. I took him with me. I went to Home Depot. And I looked at this girl and I said, oh, you look very pretty today. She goes, oh, you too. I said, oh, thank you. I said, you're about the first one that ever said that I was good looking. She says, really? I said, yeah. I said, now, don't you think because I said you look pretty, don't you think that that's a little bit creepy? I was trying to find a word, weird. I said, weird? And she says, no, creepy. And I was like, yeah, creepy. Isn't it creepy because I said to you, you look good looking? But you know that most people think it's creepy if you say, hey, you look pretty. Yeah. Now, why is that? I don't understand. You just want to be nice and say, hey, you look pretty, you know? Oh, no, you're creepy. Don't say I look pretty. You're creepy. We battle these lies all the time. And fear is the biggest attack on our lives. And God wants to cast out that fear. He says perfect love casts out all fear. And perfect love with God is, first of all, we got to create them. I created my God. And I hope that maybe one day you'll create yours. Because this one, I'll tell you what, set me free. I got a joy and a peace and a righteousness in my heart. And this God was created through truth. And I'm going to share something with you. And that's why I encourage all those that are listening and those that are here today, keep logging on to the websites, because you'll start understanding. And if you can get out here, because it's a little bit better to get out here. There's something supernatural that takes place when you get here. But at the same time, it'll begin to start telling you and changing the way you're thinking and help break down those thoughts in your head and establish your heart so that this way you can accomplish great things. God wants to do great things. Now, he's done through truth. And I'm going to read this scripture verse here. It says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Okay, now, let me just stop there, because I said his son isn't Jesus. Everybody would think that his son is Jesus, but those were the words of Jesus. He should have just said, "God so loved the world that he brought me. And if you believe in me, you'll be okay." What he was trying to say is that there's a divine nature in you, and that's his son, the good you. You didn't do anything wrong. Nobody has done anything wrong. Nobody has done anything wrong. And we got to really get this through. Did we make mistakes? You might think it was a mistake, but it wasn't a mistake. Now, I know, looking at you, you think you made a lot of mistakes, didn't you? I can see it. Shake it off. Get out of it. Get out of those areas that you think you might have done. You didn't do anything wrong. And listen, God leads a righteous person's footsteps. Now, I love that scripture, because if there is no sin, now this is, I'm in the middle of writing a book right now, and I'm going to battle all this lie out there, because the church actually put these lies on you. There is no sin. There isn't any sin. Everybody's like going around saying, "I'm sorry." There is no sin. If God loved the world and he sent his son, and whoever believes in him shall not perish but have everlasting life, and you know, it's you keep reading some scriptures about all that other stuff, sin does not exist. It exists when you put the law on. Like, let's say your mom says eating cookies were no good, and if you ate a cookie, you're bad. And that's basically how we were brought up. If you do this, you're wrong and you're bad. It's not true. Who put those laws there? You see? Who put them there? There is no law. Yes, you have to abide by your township laws and your state laws and your federal laws. You know, there might be one that says go 55 miles an hour down the road. I'm going to obey it. But there's a greater law that's inside of me. And if that greater law says, "Jim, you better get going and you better hurry up," I'm going to maybe break that 55 mile an hour speed limit. And I'll believe that everything will be okay. I'm going to live here. This is where we need to live. And this is where sin comes in. I believe, me personally, if you don't live here and you bow down to something else, now you're falling into sin. So sin does exist. It doesn't exist until it's created. Listen to me. If you feel bad about what you did, guess what? You're in sin. You see? Figure out why you feel bad, and then change the way you're thinking. Think about it. How many people have done something and then all of a sudden later on said, "Oh man, I feel bad about that"? Well, for a moment there, you might have been in sin. Don't ignore it. It's called conviction. It's called conviction. Don't ignore it. Find out why you feel that way and fix it. Sometimes people feel that way and then they keep going on and on and on and on and on and on and on. That gets really bad. Then you're like a big sinner. But I personally don't believe in sin. I believe, personally, if you've done something and you feel bad about it, just change the way you're thinking. I don't condemn anybody. You shouldn't condemn yourself. Like, for instance, smoking. Some people say, oh, smoking's a sin. Or drinking. Oh, drinking's a sin. Or whatever. It's not a sin. Oh, well, what if you overindulge? No, it's not. It just means that you're bored and you don't have nothing else better to do. Listen. I remember Ken was a big smoker. Remember that?
2 packs a day.
2 packs a day. He came around and I didn't care. Smoke your cigarettes. smoke yourself to death. Don't matter to me. And then one day, I said, why don't you just try coming back if it's, you know, because it might not be good for your health. And boom, something happened, huh? Next thing you know, you didn't smoke after that, did you? Adam smoked again. Oh, you took a smoke after the 2 days?
No, I went cold turkey for 2 days, and then I was done.
So he went cold turkey after that 2 days, and he was completely delivered of the cigarettes or whatever it was. I personally feel that when you can condemn somebody, it causes them to go further and further into the issue. If you just leave everyone alone and let them live their life the way they want to live it, then God works things out in their life. Everybody knows God, they just don't know it. How many people understand what I'm saying? Everybody knows God, they just don't know it. Let me get you close to a cliff and get ready to push you over. Guarantee you're going to say, oh God, oh, help me. You're going to be crying out to something. You're going to be crying out to something. I know. Let me get back to this one verse here. Because if we can't clear some things up, you'll never know where I'm going. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Okay? What he's saying here is you got a good spirit inside of you. Everything that you mean to do well, you really do. You try really hard at what you do. You wake up every morning, you do your best. You don't mean to hurt anybody, do you? Think about it. When I was growing up, I wasn't a bad person. Everybody would say, oh, you're a bad kid. I know you, you're a bad Jim, you're a bad guy. I'm not a bad guy. I had to survive in a world that I wasn't really familiar with, and, you know, I had to learn how to survive. That was it, and I did what I had to do. You know, everybody has a good spirit. We just got to find that good spirit. We got to believe that we're a good person. Do you know how many people out there would not even consider coming to a service like this or a church or, you know, come to God in any way or even try to listen to it, because right away I hear these comments, if I go in there, man, that place will catch on fire, you know, that'll burn up, or I might just go up and smoke and get burned up. You know, I hear that and I'm saying to myself, man, don't feel that way, because if you knew what I know and you taste what I tasted, you won't want anything else. There is something supernatural when you come to a place of peace and a place of joy and a place of righteousness. It's called the kingdom of God. When you come into this place, when you come into this realm, it is, you can be who you want to be, and you can enjoy what you want to enjoy, and you can live the way you want to live. And you have such energy. You have excitement. You have life. And this life, I don't want anybody to try to take it from me. They can't take it from me. You can do whatever you want. You can take everything I have, but you can't take this life that I have, because it feels too good. It feels too good to me. And I want everyone to hear and know this life that I'm talking about. And I hope and pray in my heart that you get real hungry for this, You get real hungry for this life, because I know I got a responsibility up there, and I'm probably judged on how many I can get hungry on this here, because what would be a need for someone like me to share this? There's a fire burning inside of me. I could be happy all by myself in my own little world, laughing and having a good time, but I can't do it. I have to get out there and get you hungry. Get you hungry. You know, I look for you. I look for them because you're like me. I love it. You know, and they don't think it's possible, but it's so possible. I mean, you can ride a Harley down the road and enjoy it and feel good and love God. You know what I mean? You can live a life and have a relationship with God. In this book that I'm writing, because I have this girl who understands, and her name is Michelle, and she's helping me, and she understands. And she said to me, Jim, before I met you, I thought if I had to come to God, I had to quit everything. I had to sell everything, and I couldn't have this, and I couldn't have that, and I couldn't do this, and I couldn't do that, and I can't. I said, God, whoever put that garbage in your head? I said, if you got it in you, then that's God's permission of saying you can have it. I mean, look, I'm not going to tell you to eat chocolate ice cream if you don't like it, you know. And that's what everybody thinks when they have, you know, you want me to have a relationship with what? I got to stop eating chocolate ice cream. No, you don't. Eat all you want. You don't have to stop nothing. God doesn't care if you like it or not. He wants you to live the life that's inside of you, because that's what he put in you. He put his law, his will, his life in you. And until you figure that out, nothing's wrong. Nothing's right. Nothing's good. Nothing's bad. Nothing. Am I making sense to you? Because there's so many people that go around saying this is right, that's wrong, this is good, this is bad. No, it isn't. What's bad to me may not be bad to you. Does it make it right or wrong? You see? What's good to me, it may not be good to you. Does that make it right or wrong? No, I feel that it's good. You feel that it's bad? Okay, you don't do it, I'm going to have a good party. I'm going to have fun. I'm going to party. I'm going to get down and party. You see? I'm going to get in there and, phew. You know, Jesus did the same thing. Didn't he eat with the taxpayers and the prostitutes and all that other stuff? You know, wine bibbers. He was, you know, the high priest, you know, the church that wants you to become like them are going around like this. Oh, I saw you eating with the prostitute over there. Oh. I'm going to tell you right now, I can't have her as a friend. She's probably one of the better best friends than you got. Yeah. How many people are relating with me? I like them rough, rugged, and raw. They'll give you the shirt off your back. Then you get these others, they'll walk right by. They won't even help you out. How many people have experienced that? I have. I said, are you kidding me? Look at yourself. You got money in your pocket and everything else. You're not going to help this guy? This guy's asking, you know, for a little bit of help. You're not going to help? Look, I got $2. Here, take my $2. Take it all. How many people have come across that? I bet you you're here today. You'd be giving your last $2 too. I know. I can see it. Let me share something here. It says, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe in him is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten son. And I'm going to tell you this, it's not Jesus. There's a part of you that's living that's called, I call Christ. Is it just to get through people's heads, try to get through those that are in religion. It's called Christ because Jesus said, who do you say I am? You're the Christ. So there was a difference between the two. When my life was changed, I was taken into a heavenly place, and it'll be in the book, so everyone out there listening could get an understanding of why I'm who I am and where I got this information. But supernaturally, this stuff was shown to me, and it was told to me, and you can't tell me any different. You can tell me whatever you want, but the truth that I have allows me to sleep at night, allows me to make me feel good at what I'm doing, and it allows me to know who I am. And it's followed by all kinds of signs and wonders and miracles. So, you know, I don't know what else to tell you. You know, you don't want to believe? Go ahead. You live in your miserable crap. Me, I want to live nice and free. I'm tucked in bed. I'm all right. I can sleep. I feel good. You can argue with yourself. And have your own little party. You believe me? Great. You'll have everlasting life. You don't believe me? Go sit in your little miserable party. Show me your truth is true by your manifestation. Let me see what kind of peace and joy you got. You see? You got peace and joy because you put yourself in a room and you don't come out and talk to anybody. Okay? I can go have a party. I can go have fun. I can enjoy myself. Do we get out and party? Oh, we have some fun, don't we? And I feel good about it too. With that being said, there's a divine nature inside of us, and it's called Christ. You can say it's the good side of you. You can say it's Mr. Good or Mrs. Good. You can call it whatever you want, but it's the good side of you. It's who you really are. And then there's a bad side of you. I don't care. Everybody's got a nasty, bad side about themselves. And, you know, it's devious and all that, and it really doesn't mean to do it. Sometimes it's a... I call it a tease spirit. You know, you just got the itchies. How many people have ever got the itchies where you just feel like antagonizing that person just because you're having, Sarah, you're really good at that. And you just like to have fun with them. Next thing you know, you're getting that other person mad. Stop it! But you're having a good little tease time. That's not a bad spirit either. That's a good spirit. You just want to have fun. That's all. People don't know how to read it. That's the problem. Now, let's say you're teasing Abba, and she's getting all mad, and then she'll be like, get away from me, you girl, you're bad, right? But you're not bad, you just want to have fun. I think people interpret bad wrong, you see? Think about it. And then a lot of our bad comes from deep hurts. That's all. You get them hurts out, we'll clean them up, and then... you'll be right on the road of being good. And that's God's spirit inside of you. Everybody's got God's spirit inside of them. And if I said that you're good, and you go, nah, oh, come on. Yeah, you're good. Nah, I'm not good. Don't call me good. Nah, I'm not good. No, really, you're good. When someone says no and they can't receive the fact that they're good, you know what happens? That's them not believing who they are. And then they're condemned already. You see, they're condemned already. It's almost like if I could say your sins are forgiven. Are you going to believe that your sins are forgiven? You might now. You might think that not all of them are. There are some people that, you know, believe that their sins are forgiven based on, you know, traditions or whatever. But do they really believe that their sins are forgiven? Now, I know that mine are forgiven. You might look at me and say, nah, Jim, I know there's some dark stuff in it. No, they're completely gone. You know how I know? Because I'm ready to die. You see? When people aren't ready to die, that's a little indication that there's something there that they're missing. There's some guilt there. Condemnation. I want to get rid of that. You should be willing to die. You should be willing to say, hey, I don't care. I mean, don't go taking a knife or a gun and, you know, provoke yourself to go die. I'm not afraid. Watch. You know, I don't think I could put a gun up to my mouth and shoot it. But that's suicide, and that's a whole different ballgame. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about I'm not afraid to die. If I have to face death in some area or another, I don't feel as though that I would be afraid to die. How many people have fear to die here? I mean, you can be honest with yourselves, you know. You don't have to tell me. Just kind of raise your hand up in your own head, you know. And I understand that you have that fear because there's some shame there. We got to get rid of that shame. You know, got to get rid of the shame. And I know how to get rid of the shame. Sometimes it's a process. You can't get rid of it just in one day. It's a process. It says, he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he who believes in the name of the only begotten Son of God. It says here, and this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. That just means that they're not accepting that their deeds weren't evil. Has anyone done something and it might have created a loss? Maybe you hurt somebody's feelings. Maybe they broke up with you. Maybe somehow along the line you got somebody upset and they left. Okay. Well, right away, that's a sign of being condemned. You know, you did something. They might have thought it was wrong, but was it really wrong? If you allow the light to come into your world, it's not wrong. When that light comes into your world, you start believing truth. And the truth is this, that God loves you. So let's say you thought you hurt or offended that person and they ran and they broke up with you. The truth says, God didn't want that person in your life. You didn't do anything wrong. God didn't want that person in your life because you don't know what would have happened if that person was in your life. If that person continued to stay in your life, this is what would have happened. Boom, 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 boom. You see? And would you want that in your life? No! Well, aren't you happy now that that person left? Yeah! You see what I'm saying? You didn't do anything wrong. If you let the light come into your heart and realize the light, and the light is truth, God's love, he protected you, that person was never supposed to be in your life. If you don't let the light come in, you're going to hear this, you screwed up. That person was the greatest person in your life. Oh, and you would have been well off if that person was with you. You're better off with that person that left than the person now. Huh? Think about it. How many people have ever got those thoughts before? Yeah. Okay? Don't condemn yourself. Let the light come in. You didn't do anything wrong. If you let this light come in that I'm talking about, you let this light come in, that light tells you that God's love for you is protecting you. You have to change the way you're thinking. God has always been for you, not against you. He leads a righteous person's footsteps. Well, I didn't do anything righteous. No, yes, you did. From the day you were born, you were righteous. He was leading your footsteps. There is no sin. You created it. By condemning yourself, by not believing that there's a light in you, by not believing that there's truth in you, by not believing that you're a good person, by not believing. Listen, we all make mistakes. But who made mistakes? Who said they were mistakes? You see what I'm saying? We all made mistakes. You're quick to agree with me, right? We all made mistakes. Yeah, yeah. Okay. That was a trick question for you. You see? Who really made mistakes? Think about it. Who said it was a mistake? Remember, if God loves you, which he does, you just don't know it. If God loves you, then there was no mistake. Everything that you did, even if you thought you did it in ignorance, everything that you did it in him. But I lost $1,000 because I put it on the wrong stock and the stock crashed. Oh, guess what? Did you really? Because maybe you would have spent that $1,000 on something else and it would have really definitely hurt you. How many people are following me? You have to understand the love of God and how that love has been protecting you ever since you were born. I'm here to witness that. Nobody has made a mistake. If you took the other road, where would it have been? I guarantee it, it would have been worse than what you thought. The lies try to condemn us. Oh, you lost $1,000 again. You don't have the money to... Oh, I can't believe it happened. You're foolish. Look at you. You're losing. What are you doing? That's the lies. The truth is, I might have taken out $1,000 and done something and really caused some severe problems. Worse than I thought I'd ever have. How many people are really following me here? You understand? You don't know. I do, though. Because God turns everything around for the good. Everything. Everything. The ones that don't turn it around for the good is us. We condemn ourselves all the time. We tell ourselves we make mistakes. We got to break that curse. We don't make mistakes. None of us made a mistake. Do you know how many of us feel bad about making mistakes? Think about it. You and I probably still feel the same way, Kurt. How many times do you feel that you might have made a mistake? I'm breaking free of this. I was shown. I don't make mistakes. Everything that I'm doing is not a mistake. But, you don't understand. But. Oh, really? Tell me what would have been different if you did do that. Oh, really? Now you know the future, huh? I know the future. Would have been worse. Probably would have really been bad. Probably would have been divorced by now. Probably would have been no return, no healing, no restoration, nothing. I know if I kept that one business that I was in, it would have destroyed our life. You know that? You would have been out the door. But I failed. I didn't fail. I restored. Do you see where I'm coming from? Our minds, our thoughts want to destroy us. But if we let the light in, and the light is truth, God's love for you, and He leads a righteous person's footsteps, and we've been righteous since the day we were born because there's no such thing as sin, then God is for us, not against us. Then that means that our whole life has been protected from day one. Isn't that awesome? That's the truth. Our life has been protected from day one. Now, I want you to just do some kind of spiritual awakening for a moment. Put yourself in them situations that you just made it by the skin of your teeth. Who do you think pulled you out? Who do you think saved you? You could have been down some bad roads, but look at what happened. Look at where you're at today. You see what I'm saying? You know how many times I came close to some bad roads? I had friends, buddies that I loved. We were buds. And they're sticking needles in their arms. Hey, Jim. I'm not saying I never took that road. But they're addicted. They can't get off it. I know some of them now that are pickled on that stuff. And I'm like, you should be dead. You probably got 100,000 points in you. Ugh. You should be dead by now. How many people know where I'm coming from? They should be dead. They're still walking. I said, man, you got a calling on your life. As soon as you're delivered and set free, I'm going to tell you right now, you're going to be a fire plug for the kingdom. I want everybody to understand the love of God. I want us to start realizing that if we don't believe in the light, that we're condemned already. And we're not going to have everlasting life because, listen, I was never a heaven, hell guy, you know, that kind of thing. I have my thoughts on that. There's a place up there that is kind of like distance. The further away from the sun, the colder you'll be, let's put it that way. And the closer you are to the sun, the hotter you will be. Well, that's the way I look at it with salvation. Eternal life. You know, you get connected with God and you know Him and you come free and you have a good relationship and you have life inside of you. Well, when you leave this earth, you're going to be real close to Him. And you won't be like in pain. I described it as leaving a loved one and so far away in distance, how your heart is just so longing and gnashing and you know, you just can't live without it. And you go crazy. How many people have been lovesick before? It's okay. You know, I've been lovesick. Yeah, honey, I've been lovesick. And then all of a sudden, you know, it's like, oh, man, that's so good to be home. It's nice. It's nice to be home. But when you're far away, you're in that place, and you're gnashing teeth, and you got all them thoughts, what's going on? And it's not healthy. And that's the way I look at it is life after death. If you don't have this truth in you, you don't have this life in you, and you don't have this peace and joy, when you leave, you're going to be so far from the glory. So far from the realm that I'm talking about, that you're going to be like this for the rest of your life, for eternity. There is no coming back as a flower. There is no coming back as something like that. You're not going to be coming back as an animal or whatever, something like that. Nope. It is true. It was shown to me. But I don't talk about all that because I want people to just get it now. Not worry about after. If I can get you with peace and having this overflowing joy inside of you and a relationship, if I can get that now, I'm not concerned about when you leave this earth because you're going to be in the right place. I don't care about that. I want it now. And I think that was the message 2,000 years ago. The kingdom of God is at hand now. It's now. And so I want everybody to understand, those that are listening, if you've never experienced this truth, let the light in. Just go in your own closet, you know, or go home tonight. Or those that are listening, just close your eyes for a moment and just say, hey, you know, I want this light. I want this light. And if you ask for this light to come in and you begin to start realizing the love of God for you, and start accepting that God loves you, this higher power that I'm talking about. You don't have to, look, I still haven't put a name on Him. I call Him God, but it's like a weak name. For who I know and my experience, God is a weak name. There's a name that is above every name, and it ain't God. Sounds crazy, doesn't it? Because we were brought up as God being the superior thing. But I'm going to tell you right now, this being that I know has a higher name than it. And I don't even know if life has ever created the name yet because it's so incredible. And I feel weak and watered down calling it God. That's messed up. I'm a little sick. It's messed up. But I know this power. And to name it God, I feel like I'm insulting it. It's great. The realm of glory. The glory that is set before us and the glory that we're going to and the glory that is now is so incredible. It's far beyond what we can comprehend or even imagine. Call me cuckoo. I don't care. Because inside of me, I feel good. I have a life. And no one can steal this life. It's mine, and I'm embracing it, and I'm hoping that you can get a life. I'm hoping that those that are listening around the world and all those nations that are logging on to us, I hope and pray that you can get this life too, and it's very simple. All you got to do is ask. All you got to do is say, you know what? I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired. I'm just, you know, I don't feel 100% what he's talking about. I don't feel all that. I mean, is this what it is? Is, you know, I wake up every morning, I do the same thing every day, and I go to bed and make money and I pay my bills. Is that life? Go out with a couple of friends, ha ha ha. Is that life? No, there's something more. And if you feel that way, like I did, you'll realize that there is something more. You'll realize that there is so much more than the same old, same old, same old. Now listen, when I did receive and my life changed, I still woke up. I still went to work. I still did the same old, same old. But I'll tell you what, it was different. I can't tell you how it was different, but I was laughing. I was laughing inside. I was like, ha ha. All the things that I was afraid of, I wasn't afraid of anymore. All the things that I was concerned about, I wasn't concerned about anymore. I was free. And I am free. And when the Spirit of God sets you free, you're free indeed. You're never going to go back to that bondage. Never going to go back to that depression. Never going to go back to that anxiety. Never going to go back to that worry and that fear. Never. So I want to take a moment right now. If you could, just close your eyes for a moment. You know, God, I want to thank you for changing my life. God, I want those that are listening and those that are here today be able to experience what you've given me. And I'm asking, Lord, that they're talking to you right now. Hear them. Hear them and come into their heart. Fill them now. Baptize them with a new life. Touch them. I pray. If you call on the name of the Lord, you shall be saved. If you call on this God that I'm feeling weak about even calling him God, if you call on this higher power, I want this God to come into my heart, the one that this guy's talking about. Just talk about the one I'm talking about. Call on that one. I want this one. I want this God that this guy's talking about. Come into my heart. Come into my heart and touch me. Fill me. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Amen. If you had that in your heart, I guarantee he'll touch you. He'll come in. He'll set you free. Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise. I encourage those that are here, Wednesdays, I'm going to be honest with you, it's like a middle of the week message to give you that boost. Those that are listening around the world, it gives them that extra boost during the week. But Sundays, come here. Sundays, I open the altars up. Sundays, I minister and pray and speak into your life. And God does things. I feel in my heart right now just to keep speaking the message and feeling, but please come out on a Sunday if you can. And you'll get more of a greater experience. Wouldn't you say, Kurt? Yeah. And, you know, I want to encourage you on that because I want to speak in people's lives. I had someone come to me last Wednesday, and he was a little crippled up. And I told him, I said, listen, you want to be set free? You want that demonic spirit casted out of you? Listen, I cast out devils. I've seen a lot of devils come out of people. I've seen them screaming. I've seen them come out. Believe it or not, they come out through farts. I had someone literally just sit there and go, I'm like, whoa, God. But they were like, oh, my God, the pain left me. I was like, yeah, that thing's out now. You know, I've seen them come out through tears. I've seen them come out through yawns. I've seen them come out through giggles and laughs. I've seen them come out so many different manifestations. I've seen them fall and slur all across the carpet. And then a lot of times God just hits you with an anointing and a power. And you get real weak and all the strength comes out of your body and you fall right down on the ground. Boom. I want God to touch your life. How many people know what I'm talking about? You've experienced it, right? You've seen the power of God here on Sundays. I have to have people behind the altar lines to catch you because when you get hit by the power of God, your life gets changed and right away you don't know what's going to happen. I remember when God touched my life, I flew back about 6 feet. Man, took chairs out and everything. And then I was stuck on the ground and I couldn't get up. And I said, if God could do this to me, he's real. You know, because I got knocked down. And I wasn't one to get knocked down. I'm a little stubby guy, you know. It's hard to knock me down. It's the big guys are easy to knock. Don't knock down one of these little guys, little fat fire plugs, man. You can't knock them down. But you can knock them big ones. I used to go for the big ones, you know. Ah, he's an easy one. Watch this. You know, kick them right in the ankles. They'll fall. I got these fat tree trunks. You can kick them all day long. You're not knocking me down. But God knocked me down, and when he knocked me down, I couldn't get up. There was a Shekinah glory, a power on me that I could not get off the ground. And my wife was there, she saw it, and I struggled. I was fighting and got up, and my whole body was shaking, man. I didn't know what was going on. But afterwards, it was like, woo! I was like that guy that fart, you know. All them things came out of me. I was free. So those that are listening, I think we got some airports and some hotels on our website. I think they're coming, right? We got another link on that one. I'll fill you in. But they could get an airplane ride over here and stop at a hotel or whatever and come in on a Sunday and experience the touch of God. Amen. Amen. Let's give the Lord a hand of praise and greet someone. I think there's some waters or whatever. And then I'm going to just make a closing. If you're logging on Sundays again, and we just keep posted. Amen? Amen. What do we got on there?